Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning. We thank you for being with us on this fourth Sunday of Easter. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop.
Greetings to everyone. Happy to have you tune in with us. And I haven't done it in a while, but a shout out to my brothers at the McConnell Unit in Beeville and all the other inmates throughout the diocese. We think of you and pray for you often.
Yes, a big hello to them. We thank them for listening this morning. And our gospel is from St. John today. Bishop, if you would please proclaim that for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man, who is not a shepherd, and whose sheep are not his own, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We see familiar imagery in this gospel, of course, that of the sheep and the shepherds. We recall back in the Old Testament, the sheep and the shepherds, very common to the lives of the people. And Jesus talks about that because it was something that they could certainly relate to.
Oh, certainly. It certainly is. And that was perhaps one of the most common professions, you might say. It was for livelihood to have sheep in your family and your even... if you go to some of the places like Nazareth, when you see the manger, that means the eating place, really, for the animals, there's a place for the sheep to be brought into the home to protect them. So when it says that Jesus was born in a manger, it was part of that house where he was born, where the sheep would be or other animals that could be kept in overnight to protect them. So not only did they shepherd them throughout the day, but they also brought them home, literally to home, to stay overnight, to protect them from any kind of evil forces that may be out there.
Like a barn.
Yes, but more than a barn. In either the sheep live in the house or the people live in the barn, you know, one or the other. But a very intimate relationship there.
Right. Well, of course, we know very well about the relationship between God and the shepherd, because I think of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, a psalm that is universal.
Right, right. Yes, I mean, a shepherd certainly was there to guide, to show the way, to push aside any obstacles that may be in the way. So if you take the image of a shepherd and all that that entails, it certainly does bring about a... conducive, or more than a conducive, a real relationship with the person that is following the shepherd. So it's a very tender image. In fact, it's not uncommon that a person who is preparing for their loved one's funeral, either the vigil the night before or the mass for the Mass of the Resurrection, to use that 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. It certainly is something that speaks to us even today, even though we don't see too many shepherds around, but it certainly is something that speaks to our hearts and our lives. I think the other thing, as the gospel begins, that Jesus declares himself the good shepherd, and he contrasts the two types of shepherds. The good shepherd is ready and does lay down his life for the sheep. When you think about that and how beautiful that is, again, that relationship of even having them in your home, the shepherd is ready to give everything, even his own life, to protect what is his. He contrasts that good shepherd with all those qualities of commitment and care, concern for the sheep, to the hired man who is not a shepherd and these sheep are not his. I always think it's interesting that the dividing point for them is that the one who is not a shepherd but is a hired person is paid. And he sees the money more important than his own life. And so he does not protect the sheep when danger comes. He runs. He runs the other way. Whenever there is a wolf coming or some kind of danger that's in sight, he's not there to protect or give his life for his sheep as the shepherd is. So I think just sometimes you can know something by looking at it or studying it, but you can know it better by the opposite. So when you think of a person who is not a good shepherd, someone who would run away in face of danger, that's not Jesus. He's there for us at any time. Recently I've had some people call me, and sometimes they'll call me in the car when I'm in the car, and before they start talking, if it's something delicate, they'll say, "Is anyone with you?" And I've started saying yes, and at first few times they went, "Oh." I said, "Jesus is with me." You say the good shepherd's here. And they go, "Oh, okay. So then they can start talking. So now when I say it, they kind of, "Really, somebody? Or is it Jesus?" "Jesus, but there's nobody here." But I think that's something that we ought to be more familiar with, you know, that the good shepherd is there with us in all of our trials and difficulties and in our joys and our sorrows, that we walk with the good shepherd. He leads the way with us, for us.
Yes, we can all identify with that, especially at different times in our lives. When we lose someone, we're maybe at the funeral, and it's not unusual to get a prayer card that talks about walking in the sand with Jesus and wondering why there was only one set of footprints. The good shepherd picks us up and carries us through our most difficult times.
Yeah, and I think it goes to that second part of the gospel there, that I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. I think that, again, is something that we oftentimes forget as we go through our day or through life. We don't realize that God knows us. Jesus knows me better than I know myself. You know, it's such a beautiful reality, not just a thought, but a reality that God knows me. He knows me better than I know myself. And so when I get kind of bent out of shape, you might say, it's good for us to stop and say, "Wait a minute. You know, I don't know all the details of this situation. God has a bigger airplane view, if you want to say, of the whole world. And he knows me. And he's my good shepherd. He loves me. He's already laid down his life for me, and he would do it again." So I think that's the kind of assurance that we need to have in our life every day. And certainly that's why we have this Sunday dedicated to the Good Shepherd, to build up that relationship with him who wants to know us because we want to be known. Let me put it that way. The other day, I have to tell you a funny story, but also a very precious story, I think. I was at Incarnate Word Academy, and I was giving the homily about, there was a lot of times throughout the three readings that it spoke of God's will, and that, you know, he has a will for us, and that Mary at the Annunciation said, "Your will be done, you know, to me according to your word." So that openness, and one of the sisters had said to me that, you know, the 3- and 4-year-olds, they're listening, so maybe you could include them. So I thought, well, at the end of the homily, I turned to them, the 3 and 4, and they're right there on the gym floor. And I said to them, trying to, you know, at my age, trying to relate to them and find an image that they could buy into. So I asked them about, you know, God in our life, in the sense that I said, what happens when you go in your room and your door is closed? And I was trying to get to the point, you know, I'm all alone, I'm by myself. In other words, I don't really feel the presence of God. I'm all. And the little kid, little boy, I think he was in three or four years old. He looked at me very puzzled, and he just raised his hand and he said, "Well, when the door is open, the light shines in the room." And I stopped dead in my tracks. I went, "Oh my gosh." I was taking it down another road, kind of the what happens when it's dark in life, you know, you're by yourself. But this little boy had this image, when the doors are open, and so I'm thinking doors are open to my life, the light, which is Jesus, shines in. And I had everybody applaud for him. I said, because that's the Holy Spirit. When our doors are open, that means the doors of our hearts, of our minds, that I want to be known, that I want to be found, that I want to have my life open to God. So I think today, especially for the Good Shepherd Sunday, that we could each ask ourselves, do I want to be known, or do I want to be found if I feel that I'm lost? Do I want the light of God, the light of Christ, his gospel to shine in my life, or do I want to just stay in my closed room and be all by myself, locked up in myself and miserable? So whenever we do feel lost, like whenever we do feel closed up in ourselves, just open the door. Invite the Good Shepherd in, who knows you already, but wants to know you better and wants you to know him. You know, there's no magic in this. It's a simple effort of our will to say, Lord, I want you to know me. I want you to be in my life. I want to be closer. I want to be found. So to be a good shepherd is one thing, but to be an obedient sheep is another, to look for the shepherd in our own lives, to run after him and follow him.
Our Shepherd's View will be right back.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And Bishop, during the first part of the program, you had a wonderful explanation about the Good Shepherd and how he wants to get to know us. And the young child who talked about the light and how important it is for us to let the light into our lives. But in the middle of the gospel, there's a line there where St. John says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. Those also I must lead, and they should hear my voice. When we were talking about those who don't belong to the fold, of course, we saw Easter Sunday at the Vigil Mass, and the churches are so full. And I heard someone mention that they wished that Easter was every month because there were so many people that attended Mass. But I'm noticing that there are still a lot of people coming to church that come and want to be blessed. And I think this is a wonderful message, a wonderful sign during the Easter season for us to be welcoming.
Right. Well, I think that's, and I'm not a scripture scholar, but I do think that's a very prophetic statement of Jesus, that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all time. So all things were created through him and for him and in him. So everyone belongs to him. That's something that we as a church, and in calling ourselves church, believe, that no one is excluded. Not everyone, you know, may belong in the sense of belonging to the faith, even being Christian, but God created everyone. And this is the profound truth of our faith, of our life, that God created everyone. And we share that human nature, our human nature, with everyone. The fact that God created us is something that we share together. Some may recognize that, some don't, may not recognize it, some may deny it, some may refute it, that there is no God. But the fact is that there is a Creator, and we firmly believe that. We affirm that again today, and that Creator never leaves us alone, that he is always there for us. God is always there. Jesus is there for everyone. So we could say that even though someone or some group or say that they're not part of the fold, in reality, Jesus is there for them. And that as he speaks the truth, that truth really resounds in people's lives. I think sometimes this is, I think this is kind of a common opinion, not opinion, but the reality that if we face it, sometimes we too often put our theology, which is based on the Word of God, it's not contradictory to it, but sometimes we put that first, and that is very profound truths from theology, from mysticism. But it can also become quite complicated for people that are beginning their faith. And so we even see in, I believe it's, I'm now getting caught here, but, you know, don't feed people meat when they need milk. Don't stuff, you know, meat down a baby's throat. You wouldn't do that because you would kill them. But you give them little pieces of pureed baby food or something that's easy to take and to swallow and to enjoy. And so I think Jesus, certainly there's a methodology here for us to be aware of, that we need to be aware that everybody belongs to Christ and that we have the responsibility with him to not try to overfeed, not try to be too zealous, but to bring the real depth and the solid truth to people, which is found in the gospel. That's his word. That's why he was sent, to proclaim his word. There are some who, in speaking, and I've heard in retreats, that he didn't come to promote theology. He came to promote the word. Now, theology is important to us to understand the word, but we have to put things first. So the fact of just to say to forgive 70 times, seven times, that's the truth of God, the mercy of God, the infinite forgiveness of God. Now, we can take that into theology and understand God as mercy. That's, you know, fine. We can understand forgiveness as a psychological help to people's sanity, to a good life. So there's many ways that you can take that and put it into different disciplines. It also helps in the legal. You know, someone's ready to forgive, and you know, and instead of instantly going to a lawsuit or something like that, it plays out in many, many realms. But the truth is that God asks us to forgive as he has forgiven us. That's a simple truth. And I think that those simple expressions of our faith, those truths of our faith, are what Jesus is speaking of here. They will hear my voice. Don't explain it away. You know, they will hear my voice, but more important than the voice, but the action of it, you know, to actually do it in a given situation. So sometimes we want to react differently on a human scale or human plane, but to simply be there as the presence of Christ among sheep that may not be part of the fold in that sense, but to be there as the truth, it will hit their hearts, right? Because it's for all of us. His message is for all of us.
You know, when we were talking about those who don't belong to the fold, of course, we saw Easter Sunday at the Vigil Mass, and the churches are so full. And I heard someone mention that they wished that Easter was every month because there were so many people that attended Mass. But I'm noticing that there are still a lot of people coming to church that come and want to be blessed. And I think this is a wonderful message, a wonderful sign during the Easter season for us to be welcoming. And we continue to pray for those, and maybe they will be the next catechumens or candidates at next year's Easter Vigil.
This is what Pope Francis calls accompaniment, that we need to accompany people. We can announce the gospel, but we need to accompany those people. Last Sunday, or a couple of Sundays ago, I was part of a retreat for college students, but they were all on retreat together, several of them. I think there were about 50 on retreat and probably 20 or 30 supporting it. Wow. But I had the Mass, and then I went over for their closing when they kind of shared some experiences. And, you know, the experience of those young people was that they felt welcomed. That, you know, they'd been going, they're Catholic, they've been going to church, but, you know, it's that moving away from home that's really difficult. But I don't think they would mind me saying that so many of them spoke, I'd say all of them spoke about being welcome and finding that they're a part of others, you know, and they were very excited about that. So I think that's very much in line with the gospel today, that, you know, what, on whatever level we feel we're not part of the fold, we're not part of the in crowd, we're not part, we are, and we can take up that that challenge to reach out to those who may not feel that they are a part of or welcomed for whatever reason. I think the last part of the gospel kind of leads into that, that Jesus's desire is that there be one flock and one shepherd, that we don't need to go look for something that suits us better. We don't tailor-make the gospel, or we don't tailor-make our worship and our prayer to ourselves, but what is best in worship and prayer and praise to Almighty God. And for that, Jesus says there should be, there needs to be, there will be one flock and one shepherd. And then he finishes up by saying, this is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. That Jesus's purpose was not only to guide us as the Good Shepherd, not only to be there, but also to lay down his life. And there's no greater love, as I believe we'll hear in a couple of weeks in the gospel, there's no greater love than that, than to give your life for a friend. So the Good Shepherd, above all, lays down his life for his friends, his people. And this is what builds the relationship, or is the cornerstone of the relationship between Jesus and his Father, that he willingly accepts the will of the Father and lays down his life for us. And he says, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This command I've received from the Father.
And of course, we saw that on Good Friday with the cross.
Right. Jesus willingly does for us what the Father wants for us. And I think that's, again, something that Jesus not only died for us, but the Father willed that for us. So much does he love us. And so when we're talking about the sheep and the fold, the good shepherd, it's all a reflection of the Father's infinite love and infinite mercy for each one of us. No matter who we are, where we come from, what we've done, he's there for us.
Well, also in the catechism, it talks about the symbols of the church. And one of them is how the church is the flock, which God himself foretold, the flock of which God said he would shepherd. And even though governed by human shepherds, we are unfailingly nourished and led by Christ himself.
Right, and I think that's certainly a message in the catechism for us as pastors, to know that we stand in persona Christi, as we say, in the person of Christ, not to block people, not to judge people, not to turn people away, but to be the gate to help them come in to meet Christ. It doesn't mean that there's not a level of guidance involved, because it's not a matter of a free-for-all. You know, everybody tailor-makes their faith for themselves. But we have to be good shepherds and ready to, you know, as a parent would do, confront if we have to confront, but to do it in a way that is in line with the good shepherd.
A beautiful message this morning, Bishop, on this fourth Sunday of Easter. Again, we thank you for your time and your insight. If you would close our program with a prayer and a blessing.
Certainly. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, lead us to a share in the joys of heaven, so that the humble flock may reach where the brave shepherd has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you this day and always, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.